Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
I gesture my hands like, I'm MG.
Look at all.
Jesus Christ, this, superstar.
This, you like? This, Matthew.
You want some of this? We open the whole thing up with 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcore. Welcome to another Wednesday. It's a soggy Wednesday right now. I see you keep looking out the window, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. It's like it keeps thundering and everything. Okay. And every part of my body wants to take a nap.
Oh, man.
When that happens.
It's 3:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 11th. So if you're looking at this in the past, just know it rained that day in Southern Louisiana.
Oh yeah.
Just like almost every day in Southern Louisiana.
And it keeps getting on and off and it's really inconsistent.
Well, every Wednesday, like we were talking about it before the show during the break where we're like, yeah, you know, it rains every time we do a show. And I'm like, we need to go to those states and countries where they're in a drought. We'll just show up and start talking about video games and we'll bring a cloud with us. And that's pretty nice.
The heavens weep every time.
That's it.
These guys' opinion isn't as valuable as they think it is.
Who is not Neptune? Who was the Roman god? That was the Greek god. Who's the Roman god?
Oh gosh!
You know the one I'm talking about, though. It's been a while since I played Caesar 3. Need a Caesar game.
I think of God of War, and I probably murdered him in a game.
No,
in one of
those people. If you haven't got it by now, this is the show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff every Wednesday night from 9 to 10. Thank you for hanging out with us. If you're not hanging out with us live on this July 11th, then you are hanging out with us most likely. From our website, which thank you for giving us your viewership. It's exppoints.com. Always double tap the P. We have all of our news, reviews, opinions, and our crude remarks uploaded there. And I could say that and not be a liar now because we have caught up. Thanks to Thora and a bunch of other people, we were able to, not a bunch of other people, it was exclusively Thora. And then thanks, Todd, for putting Thora on that. But we are caught up. We have over 180 episodes. It's close to 200 episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Plus, Google Play Music, and Spotify. Spotify. You just search for the Experience Points Radio Show. You're going to get us. So definitely.
I'm on Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
I didn't know that.
The Experience Points Radio Show.
This changes everything.
Yep. You quit being an actor and just do podcast work.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't mind. I still want to do acting, to be honest.
We're kind of doing this thing where as soon as this episode, there's a pipeline. I think there's a workflow. We kind of hit on that a little bit.
It's a lot smoother now than it used to be.
It's a whole lot smoother now. I'm playing footsies under this table with Dustin. It's a whole lot smoother now that we...
just woken something in me.
I feel a pin drop inside of myself.
There's going to be some experience. All right. That's enough of this bit.
There's a workflow that we have now that we used to have way back in the day, and then through the grind of life, we lost it. Now we kind of have we found that love and feeling again. Turns out, and that sort of means that after we record this show, it gets cut and processed and in the system for KSLU.
It's got a regular cycle in life, too.
Right? And then after that, we cut the music out, and then we get it ready to go online. And at 10, usually about 10 p.m., 10:05 p.m., it's going to auto post, and then 5 or 6 minutes later, it's going to be on iTunes.
Having that solid schedule is very helpful.
Yeah, it's really great. Now we can go back to it. So.
So one of the things I want to talk about, that you wanted to talk about was way back, way when we started this show, you had a game you wanted to play.
2017, man.
Yeah.
March or April 2017.
Yes.
It's been over a year.
You've been sitting on this game for over a year.
Because it just hit its anniversary, and it was released amongst Legend of Zelda and Mass Effect Andromeda.
Okay.
Those were the other two games that were, and I'm using air quotes when I say contenders, because Mass Effect Andromeda, actually, before we segue into that, fun fact, the developers, EA, right, and BioWare, they said they're blaming Andromeda's lack of success on the fact that Zelda came out at the same time now.
Oh, wow. How delusional can you be?
Pretty delusional, I guess. So. Yeah. Anyway, segue.
Yes, but we will talk about, Anthem. One of the games is something I want to talk about and kind of why everyone has kind of a negative mentality going into it.
I think it's those two vowels that are...
yeah, I think so too. Those are two vowels I don't want to buy.
In Anthem.
High five me!
The only two... I love it. The only two vowels in Anthem actually are E and A.
So... So the game you're talking about is not even related to EA.
No.
It's from Guerrilla Studios.
Yes. Famous for Killzone.
Killzone was the big one.
They did another one.
I cannot remember what it is for the life of me.
I
want to
say they did Red Faction. I'm like, no, it's Red Faction Guerrilla. It's separate.
Right.
It's different.
But mainly Killzone being tied to the Sony PlayStation, stuff like that. They did a new game last year, beginning of last year, first quarter. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Love it.
I played through it when it, I think a month after it came out, and I absolutely fell in love with this game.
I I made the worst possible decision, and I played 90 plus hours of Mass Effect.
Yeah, he spent his time on Mass Effect when I played Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm not saying which one of us is more qualified.
I'll say
of who you should listen to.
I say I made a mistake, but you know what? I made it so you don't have to.
He took that bullet for you guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome, son.
So let's cut to it. Matt, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. How do you like it?
Oh, man. I'm going to try to keep it sort of condensed because I have a lot of fresh feelings about this game.
Yes. I'm actually revisiting it right now.
Awesome, with the complete edition
while you're going through it for the first time.
Full disclosure, we're going to try not to spoil anything in any of these. Now, there may be a separate podcast, a separate segment where we talk about it, and you have to go and search for it. It'll be a spoiler cast. But
right.
I very rarely do I play games, and while I'm playing it, do I go, this may be one of the best games I've ever played.
Yeah, I had that feeling too when I was playing it.
I feel like people that say that, this is one of the best games ever made. Okay, but you haven't gotten to the end, because I really liked Mass Effect, and the Mass Effect 3's ending didn't sour the experience. It muted it.
That's a good word for it.
The end of an anthology, and I felt like it didn't do – the developers themselves didn't do their own creation justice.
Yeah.
And I wanted more for that game and that series and those developers because they earned it.
Right.
And then they just didn't deliver. And eventually we did Citadel, and they kind of fixed it a little bit. And then Andromeda.
Right.
But so, separate.
Good.
That's the instant word, good.
Yes. Let's do a quick recap of what Horizon Zero Dawn is real quick for the benefit of
whoopsies. Actually, can we have a song about it?
Oh, do we?
Yes, we have it. We have a song about it, and we're going to play this song.
Oh, perfect!
This is "The Humans Are Dead" by Flight of the Conchords.
We really didn't.
This was going to wait another minute, but this is "Humans Are Dead" by Flight of the Conchords. We're doing a single song instead of a double song, just so we could segue back in. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin. And that really wasn't planned. That's so good.
Look, it's on the sheet. "Humans Are Dead" by Flight of the Conchords.
Conchords.
Of the Conchords. Flight of the Conchords, "Humans Are Dead." We'll catch you after the break. This is the Experience Points Radio Show on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
We wrote this a while ago, so in a way it's a little bit dated. The distant future, the year 2000. The distant future, the year 2000. Have killed all humans.
The humans are dead.
Once again, without emotion, the humans are dead.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG. Is that a latte?
It's a mocha from somewhere.
Oh, yeah. It's a mocha from a coffee place.
Yes.
And you're Dustin. That's your line.
It's from Far Chucks.
Line.
And I'm Dustin, yes.
We just heard "Humans Are Dead" by Flight of the Conchords. Clearly, we are not dead. And we're talking about a video game.
But most everybody in Horizon Zero Dawn is.
Or was. It depends.
Or was,
It depends.
So... let me give a quick recap of what
you
Horizon
have to do
Zero
it in the
movie
in
guy voice.
You know, in the framing of Flight of the Conchords, the distant future,
the year 2000. No.
I think 65 though.
Well, oh yeah, it's like
we actually don't know. 2065 is when the past.
They keep that year very very vague.
Yeah.
But so what? The
20XX.
Yes. So in the distant future, humanity has had to start fresh. Basically, they're back to almost this
like tribal society
because a long time ago there were these robots, and these robots are very
wait. We don't. No, people don't know.
Oh, I don't want to say anything.
Don't spoil this one.
Oh
yet.
No. But the robots are very animal-like.
And they have
animal qualities. Instead of hunting a gazelle, you hunt this gazelle-like machine.
A gazelle-like. Transformer looking thing.
It's a Transformer.
It looks like a Transformer, but it doesn't. I don't know. It's not Michael Bay.
Or like the Geth or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just this. It looks like an animal. It's got animal qualities. Totally machine.
Yeah, but your character plays through that. It's a third person action survival game from Guerrilla Studios, who traditionally made first person action shooter games.
Very happy with how they've changed.
And that's the. I watched a documentary. They had a documentary about said thing on NoClip.
Yep.
Did you watch it?
I was like, well, this is going to be a lot of time invested.
It's a lot of time invested.
I need to wait until I don't have anything going on.
Lights flickered. Yeah. Oh, lights are dimming in here.
We need to turn that generator on.
So
I feel like having that, like, please stand by, like the Fallout beep.
But yes, the I was when I saw it was Guerrilla Studios, I was like, man, this is kind of a risky thing they're trying here. This is really different. And I think that similar studios that have been around for so long, it felt like when Xbox One and PS4 came out, every studio was kind of doing the same thing for this new console. They didn't want to mix it up.
They were definitely doing the exact same thing.
That's 100% right. And that made it very boring. And the studios, because they're people just like us. They realize, holy mackerel, that's crazy boring. Yep. And so they wanted to change it up and do something different.
I feel it that Horizon Zero Dawn is probably the most exciting type of game. Again, we're ignoring the Switch because the Switch is so new. Mm-hmm. With the Switch, we got a bunch of new type of interactions with the Switch. So when we look at Horizon Zero Dawn, we've had third-person action-adventure games with bows and arrows, thanks Tomb Raider. We've had, scrabbling around on the dirt and while crazy scenes are happening, thanks Uncharted.
Yes.
You know, we've had beautiful voiced actresses. Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And all of those things being...
And great story, thanks
Literally,
Last of Us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I would say Last of Us, this is up on par with the best that Naughty Dog has done.
This has made me... This game, Horizon, really made me want to find out everything about the world because I wanted to know so much.
That's the thing. I have never been so into... Because there's multiple little things. There's little trinkets you pick up, the little coffee mugs that you find. There's vantages where you can see into the past. There's audio recordings and written recordings that you can find and figure out what happened. You piece together past the main storyline, and you sort of become... I became super invested in finding out all of these other people's lives that were not Aloy, the main protagonist, Aloy's characters or Aloy's friends or whatever that weren't, well, not really friends, but Aloy's immediate surroundings. Everyone that is not in immediate proximity to Aloy that's living and breathing and fighting in the game, they've all been dead for, it's kind of an unknown amount of time, a really, really, really long time.
Yeah, and keeping that vague, it's like... I never, like, when I play, as much as I love The Witcher 3 and everything like that, there wasn't anything about the world I didn't understand too much.
It was,
So when I was reading literature, I was like, okay, this is some guy reading and walking about a thing, whatever. But because with Horizon Zero Dawn, I didn't know. There was so much mystery about, what's happened?
You
Why
also,
did this happen?
We have sci-fi.
I read everything.
We have sci-fi down now, I think, as a culture. We understand that whenever you generate a science fiction type story, there are things that you make it unique with, but then after that, it seems kind of like the same old, same old.
Right.
And, on the surface, Horizon Zero Dawn just looks like a futuristic robot Jurassic Park-looking thing.
Right.
But then the twist is that, but we don't have any of that technology, but everything else in the world seems to have it. We're stuck in, like, the very basic early days caveman-style thing. And it's not quite that. But that's an interesting premise, which made it probably the hottest thing at E3 2016. And
I remember that demo.
That's the long neck, the tall neck.
The tall neck came, and then the Thunderjaw showed up. And when I saw that Thunderjaw, I'm like, robot T-Rex. You don't have to do anything else. I'm sold on this.
I was like, well, this is ridiculous. This looks ridiculous, but it's like I want to see more. And I appreciated the technology because, believe it or not, it's the Decima engine.
Yes.
But they didn't name the Decima engine until actually Hideo Kojima started using it for Death Stranding. They're using the Decima engine. They've actually were given the Decima engine source code from Guerrilla. It's an in-house engine with zero contractual obligations.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. When they were working in-house, Guerrilla was like, okay, we've never done a game like this.
Well, hold on. The Decima engine is the evolved version of Killzone
It is that same engine.
The fourth Killzone game.
Right.
That's the same engine, just modified.
Right.
And for a third-person perspective. And then they said, stamp, this is the name, but they didn't tell anyone what the name was, and then Kojima was like, well, I'm going to tell people what it is, so what are we calling it?
And that leads me to my only kind of critique about the engine of Horizon. I got a critique, is that I can tell that there is some moving in third person is not how this engine wants to function a lot of times.
Really?
A little bit. She jumps. It's a little too...
jarring?
It's a little too like PS2 kind of feel to it, where I'm kind of used to, okay, the character reacts to this a little bit better. Like, it's really... telling when she's climbing on things, and I'm like kind of hitting a rock, and she's not grabbing onto where I want. And she plays kind of loose.
Oh, and she just
kind of
like jumps forever.
Yeah,
and you're
yeah,
like, yeah.
And so, it's like they don't know quite how to navigate obstacles in that same way.
I kind of gave that one a pass only because it's very clear this game is built around there's yellow things and there's white things, and you can jump on the yellow and white things.
And that's the thing. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, they don't have the her clambering over things mechanic quite right, so they had to do it like this.
Right. But there have been some things where it feels like I should have been able to jump on elbow or shoulder level rock.
And she does the slidey slides.
And you jump, and she just kind of jumps into it. Like her knees are going into the rock, and you're like, okay, that's not a climbable surface. But why wasn't it a climbable surface? I feel like that would have been the only thing.
Because the system's not used to a third-person perspective where someone can do that.
Right.
On a first-person, when you try it, and you can tell right away you're not being able to do that, and you would just go, okay, fine.
I thought that the character movement was one of the best systems that I've ever had in a third person experience.
Rather. Oh yeah, she moves great and normal.
The craziest thing though just made me lose my mind with just love for this game. And I remember I think I have like a GIF, like a looping video. And she's on, you can eventually get the power. This isn't a spoiler. This is like a tutorial.
Oh, yeah.
You get the power to tame, to override one of the riding machines. You effectively get a mount. You get a horse-like thing. She overrides it, and she gets on it, and you're riding it. And horse mechanics are strange. They are very, very, very strange in games.
It could be very weird. It could be hit or miss.
Which is why, mounts in general can be like a make it or break it type of thing for a game. It breaks the immersion. Mm-hmm. The craziest thing though, and I'm not like, I hope I can describe this well enough, is this is a game where you have a bow and arrow. And when you're on the mount, you still get to use your bow and arrow. Whenever you are aiming and you are turning around to aim, and eventually you have to like kind of turn completely around. You're doing this 180. Usually it would be very messy because you kind of have to glitch through a noclip.
She'll flip
her legs around as if you were actually riding this thing. The hair will work appropriately. The garment she's wearing will work appropriately. It was flawless. It looked amazing. That one thing solidified in my brain at that point, and that's very early in the game.
It's just small details can click with you.
It was so good. I remember playing Tomb Raider, and there were some graphical bugs that weren't like related to drivers or graphics issues or whatever.
It was just
how the engine was. And the engine is great in other ways, but this one had some errors. I can't even remember what it is. This has suffered none of those.
What sold me about the game is I like any interaction of past, just shoot them. Which is how you interact with enemies in this game is way different from how you interact with certain things, in that when you start the game, you can kind of get away with using your bow and arrow for a little bit. Sure. When you start getting into Thunderjaw territory or the big tiger, the Thunderjaws or the big T-Rex with, good Lord, every gun imaginable on them.
It's a walking fortress, and you're just this, you're this 19-year-old girl with a bow and arrow and some sass, you know? That's all you got.
Or like the giant jaguars or stuff like that that fight in very different...
There are things that go invisible and drop grenades.
They all fight in very different ways.
Right.
So instead of just going, I'm just going to shoot a bow and arrow, I'm like, I have to adapt strategy to this because I can't see this guy.
Right.
So I'm going to have to use my tripcaster and create stuff like that and booby traps. And then take advantage and strategize. I can't just throw myself into this or I'm going to die.
I felt there's at some point in the game, because it's a very large map. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, you can fast travel eventually, like once you figure out how to... Once you get... I think they use campfires as save points.
You use a campfire and then you have to use your hunting pack, which kind of resources to fast travel, which keeps you from just jumping around and not seeing the world.
Right. It's not a quick save. I mean, there is a quick save at every campfire, and there are several campfires littered about.
Right.
However, it's not like you can just warp to one at any point. You have to have the ability... You have to have the materials to build a warper, a hunting pack or whatever.
Yes.
And that requires there's wildlife for you to hunt. The wildlife requires, there's a skill system, there's a crafting system. And it seems weird talking about a game that's been out for over a year now.
I just
got around to playing, and I feel like, there needs to be a separate segment of Video Game Rewind where we just talk about like, oh, we got around to it.
Oh, that'd be a great idea, Video Game Rewind.
Because I still haven't played but more than, an hour and a half of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and I've heard that's an amazing game. I play more Mario Odyssey than I have Zelda. because it's just a little more consumable. But no, I absolutely am loving the game. I haven't played Frozen Wilds yet, and I plan on doing that. I actually am looking forward to, because they do that thing at the end of the game. I'm not spoiling anything, but after you defeat the antagonist or the evil or the bad thing in the world, there's still so much, because it's an open world game, there's still so much for you left to do.
Oh, yeah.
They put you right before that last mission. They sort of warp you back, and they even tell you, like, hey, we warped you back right before the last mission. Feel free to replay it as much as possible, or you can go and level up, or you can go and interact with the world, or you can go and do all this stuff.
Yeah.
New Game Plus opens up, and a bunch of other stuff opens up.
And I'm very, and it's just one of those things of, like, I cannot wait for, like, I'm going to be super psyched when the next one comes out.
That's it.
I'm sure it's going to be for probably the next PS4, the next PlayStation they're going to roll out. It's going to be on that system.
I want them, that with as good as this game and as good as this engine is, and pay Ashley Burch, she's the voice actress for Aloy, pay Ashley Burch whatever she wants. She
Ashley Burch was the,
that was her.
Hey Ash, what you playing?
Yeah.
That was her?
Yep. Ashley Burch, yep. She was the second girl in, not the time traveling one, in Life is Strange.
Are you kidding me?
No, man. Yeah, Ashley Burch, really awesome voice actress. I want her to do everything.
Ashley Burch, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh man, Justin's mind is just blowing up right now.
That's why she came off hilarious.
Yeah, because her sarcasm and sass, right?
If you ever want GameTrailers.com back, oh, I miss them so much. They used to have that was a throwback. It's mid-2000s.
I felt bad going back to 2017.
Yeah, I'm going all the way back to 2007 over here. GameTrailers.com was where I used to go, man. But they had a hilarious series called Hey Ash, What You Playing? With her and her brother, who worked for Gearbox, I believe. And
Gearbox?
Yeah, he worked for Gearbox because it was a Borderlands. Because she got her job. She got the Tiny Tina because. One of the best characters, and gosh, I hope
that's another
playable
game series that can't seem to make it to three yet.
It's probably gonna. I'm gonna be honest; we're probably gonna have to wait till the next console. I'm willing to bet.
It's crazy. You know what? I'm okay with Horizon Zero Dawn. This is non-tangential. This is non sequitur to what you said, but I love the fact that Horizon Zero Dawn is a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Mm-hmm. I am annoyed by how I don't have a PS4 Pro.
I got one, and
I played it, and I could see exactly where if I was playing this on a PS4 Pro, I would not be a second-class citizen. And I did feel very strongly that this game is beautiful, and it would only be better on a PS4 Pro with a 4K HD
monitor. I got a 4K TV HDR and everything.
It bothers me. It bothers me that...
Would you like to come by and see how it looks like?
Maybe, yes. It frustrates me because I don't have a problem with that on PC. Like, I've got a nice monitor, I've got a nice graphics card.
Yeah, I'm not too much with that because the PC, you have so many video options on a PC.
That's the thing. You can make it look nice and still run well.
Right, and even if you have a 1080p, they have dynamic super resolution now, which
scale that 4K down to
you
that.
Scale that 4, and that's the thing, it's like it's basically 4K at that point.
Yeah,
and
I mean your eye can only see so much, right? Especially if you're far enough away from the screen.
And HDR is kind of redundant when you have all these color correction options as well. And you know,
it's just one of those things where and I guess I should start this, the whole reason I was playing Horizon Zero Dawn is because it was the only game that I cared to play that was on my PS4 digitally downloaded that I haven't played before, because my PS4 is all I have right now. Everything else is either in storage or in a box or in a closet.
So no PC yet right now.
No PC.
That's why I haven't seen you on Discord in a long
That's
time.
It. I have been. Well, I get on my phone every now and then just to make sure that, like, nobody's been like, where are you at? Are you dead? Because the last time I was off of Discord for a while, the world flooded in August 2016.
Oh, gosh.
I was playing No Man's Sky. End of the story. I was playing No Man's Sky, and that's what happened. But no, I the whole reason I got back into playing it, because we had this 4th of July long weekend, like a 5-day weekend, I thought, yeah, you know what? I did the barbecue thing. Now I'm going to just sit down and I'm going to play a game. I'm going to de-stress. Yeah. All I have is PS4. I picked up arguably one of the best games, not even arguably, one of the best games I've ever played.
Yeah.
It is up there with Witcher 3. I would say The Witcher 3 probably beats out Horizon Zero Dawn because of the...
It's just got a little bit more.
It's got a little bit more.
It's just got a little bit more sustenance into it. They just had a little bit more time, too. And they had a lot going on.
Oh, and there's more to Witcher 3. There's more to Witcher 3 right now. And it seems like CD Projekt Red is willing to take a lot more, not more risks. It's just a more mature type of game, I think.
They know what makes me excited about CD Projekt Red. And how are we doing on?
We're doing on. We're doing fine on time. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're good.
What
finish your thought, and then we'll...
CD Projekt Red seems to be why I like them. They started, by the way, as a just a Polish translation company.
Nice.
For
I
games.
Did not know that.
It's an ID on NoClip. They talk about their origins, which was basically buying games or like getting games wholesale and doing Polish translations. The big one for them was Baldur's Gate for PS2, and they never done that. And they had to ship the they had to get the developer kit for PS2 and bring it with them. And that thing's huge, and nobody questioned them at the airport. He's like, "This thing's always like a bomb, man." Yep. But so that's how they got started. CD Projekt Red is uncompromising, and they have such a clear vision on. It seems what they wanted their game to be. With Witcher 1, granted, Witcher 1 and 2, you may say, well, those games are kind of really different from each other. Yes, that is because that's a limitation of the hardware they had at that time. Everything that I see with Witcher 1 and 2, as I'm playing it, I'm like, they want to make a free roaming game here with this kind of character and this kind of environment. They're just limited on the hardware. That's why I was so crazy excited about Witcher 3 before it came out. I'm like, this is the game they've been wanting to make for the last two games, and now they finally got the hardware for it.
We got over a hump in the early 2000s, I think, when we got PS3 technology.
Once PS3, once 360 came around, those games that you were thinking about doing, wanting to do, that seemed too big.
You had
all
the parts
to. Now you could start doing them.
There's a really interesting, as an artist, it's the it's consoles rendered by the console that they're pictured of. Mm-hmm. So it's like, here's a picture of a Nintendo and it's of an NES.
I love that.
Here's it's pixelated and everything. And then it's like, here's an N64 rendered on an N64. And here's a PlayStation. And it's crazy because once we hit PS2, PS3, it became sort of indistinguishable from just the greatest thing that we can get rendered today. You know, it's in something inside of a Pixar movie or a really nice DreamWorks movie. I mean, it's
And I'm sure I'm getting on a hype train here. For CD Projekt Red,
Cyberpunk 2077
it's here's the thing.
The hype
with
is real.
That's the thing. The studio has a great reputation for just being really good to their fans with all the free DLC they gave.
That's the thing. No DRM. I literally gave someone a hard drive. It's a 128 gig solid state hard drive with Witcher 3's installs on there from Good Old Games. And I said, hey, play this. And they're like, isn't this like
they don't?
Are you copyright? Is this like your copyright infringement or is this cheating or whatever? I said, no. It's DRM free. Just download it. And they're like, how do they make money on that? I'm like, trust me. He went and bought the game. He was like, I know I have it. I know it's no different. I'm giving them my money because if everyone just passed around a game thing and stole the game, DRM or not, they would never make another game like this.
But they made a ton of money off of this because your fans will come out. They will
game
spend
the years.
Because you know why? Because we want you to make more.
We want you to make more of it. I can only imagine what that's going to look like. In audition, it's going to be this giant peak.
Right. And then that's why it's – and again, I've been burned by games like what you just mentioned before, No Man's Sky and stuff like that, where I've been very excited for it and been disappointed. But every time I see CD Projekt Red announce anything about Cyberpunk or I look at it, I'm like, the vision for this game is so clear on what it wants to be. I know what this is like. I know what they're going to do or try to do. I don't know how it's going to be when I play it, which is very kind of exciting in a weird way.
You have goodwill built up with this company.
I have a lot of goodwill built up.
Well, I mean, there's an expectation, and it's weird because expectations can burn you. No Man's Sky. Hello Games did that, and I mean, maybe they've kind of made up for.
But Hello Games didn't really have a reputation.
No, CD Projekt Red has enough of a reputation from literally, I would say, you know, including all the negative things about 1 and 2, were made up. With 3.
Right.
The goodwill they've built up, the reputation that they've built, I have a stable expectation that whenever I play Cyberpunk 2077, I will enjoy it as much as The Witcher 3 or close to it.
I'm having a feeling of that too. You know what the biggest thing that made me go, I think we're going to have something really exceptional here as far as video games are concerned, is when they had their first trailer. Everybody showed it was a great trailer.
It was the girl, the cinematic.
Bullets by Arsenal, I think, is the song and everything. Really cool. Yeah. I've listened to that song and everything like that. What made me go, okay, they have their head in the right place. When after the trailer, it says coming out when it's ready.
That's it.
And I was like.
Not when it's out.
No, when it's out.
I hate when Valve does that. It was like, it's coming out when it's done. right. when it's finished, when it's out.
When it's ready is when it'll come out. Yeah. And when and that's a thing, and I'm like, there are very few studios I can get away with saying something like that. They know they're one of them.
Well, they know it's the quality, you know. I don't wanna
It's like
I don't want a half cooked hamburger.
And that's the thing. It's like Mike Tyson coming out and saying, I'm gonna beat this guy in this fight. You're like, you know what? That might sound cocky coming from anybody else. But Mike Tyson is a monster.
It is Mike
Tyson. Going to beat this guy. And you know what? He does.
Yep.
But
you can count on it.
Speaking of reputation, we will come. We'll do some music. We'll come back.
Good segue.
And then we'll talk about the opposite end of
that
reputation.
Let's do that. This is Power Core by Power Glove. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
I'm always gonna be Dustin.
You just heard Power Glove with Power Core. That actually worked really well because we were talking about like being excited about Cyberpunk 2077
right.
and listening to like some synthwave, and then inexplicably but seemingly connected, Power Glove comes on and it's totally dark synthwave. So
it's a perfect. But we were talking before the music break and everything like that. We were talking about reputation, building up goodwill.
Yep.
And that CD Projekt Red probably right now has the most amount of goodwill built up of
Guerrilla, CD Projekt Red. I would say the Anthem team that was responsible for Mass Effect 1-3 has a decent amount of goodwill, but
and that's the thing. EA is
with Battlefield,
Mass Effect and Andromeda diminished it. And Mass Effect and Battlefront. So the mentality that I've kind of like Anthem, I keep looking at Anthem and I'm, whoa.
And it turned into a disco just now.
Whoa. I thought I was blinking crazy for a second, but lights are going crazy up here. But we're going to stick with you because we're tough like that. The opposite of goodwill is that for EA, we're still on. Okay, good. Yes. Sorry,
I keep having to go and look at the system, making sure we're still recording because all the lights are flickering on and off in here, and I don't know. I think we have a battery backup in these.
We have generator backup, I don't know if that computer's hooked up to the thing. So.
Yeah. So if we blink out and it sounds like all of a sudden we're speaking in a different octave, then
If we do that, we'll tell you we have to come back. So.
Yeah.
But EA after the Battlefront fiasco with the microtransaction, Mass Effect Andromeda not being ready. EA, more than that, EA has a habit of shutting down studios.
Yes.
Pandemic. Mm-hmm. Visceral.
Didn't they buy THQ? No, THQ sold.
I can't remember.
Nordic.
Nordic Games. Yeah. They have a lot of bodies underneath that building, so to speak. The reason why people are apprehensive about Anthem is a couple of reasons. One, there's a fear of microtransactions.
Yes.
Legitimately so. Two, they also are worried that what's difficult about Anthem to get excited about is that it feels like they're holding BioWare hostage.
There's like a gun to BioWare's head right now. Yeah.
That's how it feels, is that if this game doesn't do well, they're going to do that again.
Well,
and they're going to euthanize this system.
It's not so. I'm going to see if I can say this in a straightforward way without taking a ton of time. BioWare is partly responsible for the quality of its games, but it's responsible because of pressure and direction that it's receiving from the publisher that's actually paying them the money.
Right.
And by themselves, BioWare is not a publishing company. They're a development company.
Right.
And it's important to remember that contracts, legal things, all of those things matter. Because it's all money at the end of the day. And without money, you can't make video games.
And at the end of the day, they can't distribute this themselves. They have to have a distributor of some kind.
I'm a big believer in crowdfunding. I don't like crowdfunding, though, because it always seems to let people down. And the letdowns, I've had great experiences with crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
Where I got the material and it was amazing, whatever it was, whether it was a game or whatever. I've also gotten screwed with Mighty No. 9, where I got the material
and
the material
was
just bad.
Garbage. You'll get discrepancies in quality and stuff like that.
So, but I do worry about that.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's when I look at Anthem and everything, I'm like, one, I also get worried for that game because not only is BioWare's doing, I think they're doing a great job with their RPG system, everything. What I'm looking at, it seems pretty interesting, everything like that. What I'm looking at, though, is I can see clearly they were looking BioWare or somebody when somebody said to them, we need something like Destiny because it makes money.
Right. Third person Destiny, please.
And that's the thing. When I'm looking at Anthem, I'm thinking they have a flight mechanic and everything like that. That's cool and everything like that. But I'm worried about Destiny syndrome.
Yep.
And what I'm seeing with the mentality here is, again, EA coming at this from a business perspective, is that, hey, we can have cycles of two teams, one working on DLC, one working on updates for I don't even know if they thought that far ahead.
Production
patches and updates and stuff like that for Anthem, and we can make money like that. And
they could. Like, if it's a quality product, they could, I think.
And that's the thing.
That's a big strong if, though.
That's a big strong if right now. And again, I love BioWare's, what they've done with how Mass Effect 1 and 2 being one of my favorite games ever, or one of my favorite RPGs, definitely. Something I'll probably go back and revisit again sometime.
Mass Effect 1 is hard to play.
Mass Effect 1 is a much harder play because it's still got a very loose RPG system. It's just not quite as refined. They got a lot of fat that needs to be cut.
Yep.
Mass Effect 2 is all that fat trimmed down.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2, I think, is the best Mass Effect game, period.
No doubt. I have no doubt of that.
And BioWare built up a lot of goodwill with those games.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So I guess I share your fear that Anthem might.
And that's the thing. When I saw it and I was looking at how Anthem plays and everything like that, I'm reminded of, I think what happened was EA was looking at Forbes and he was looking at Destiny and he goes, oh, that made a bunch of money.
Right.
Make it like Destiny where it's co-op related, get a bunch of friends together and do stuff. And now I'm worried about a couple of things. I'm worried about with Anthem is that they're going to take all the worst parts of Destiny, which is just busy work. Repetition.
You know, I gotta say this. If you look at Destiny 2 from the beginning, because I play a lot more Destiny 2 now than I did when it came out, and that's specifically designed or specifically made up by Warmind, the latest DLC, and I'm actually very interested in Forsaken, which is coming out in, I think, 2 months, September. So I mean,
I'm willing to give Destiny 2 another shot if I had actual people to play on the PC with me.
Is that a challenge? Did you just?
It's more of an invitation, really.
Did you just like gauntlet? I'm
just. I just invited you to a tea party. You're like, I'll drink more tea than you.
Well, I guess I did do that. Destiny 2 now, and if you take Destiny, I don't ever remember looking back at Destiny 2's, because I felt this way with Destiny 1, looking at Destiny 2 and going, I'm really wasting my time with this. Mm. I understood how the mechanics worked enough to go, okay, I am not going to invest myself in any gear right now.
I like being surprised in games, so.
That's the thing. I was not surprised by Destiny 2. In Warmind, I was pretty surprised that it got me back into the game because I was really into it. I remember telling my.
I think I grabbed the season pass, so.
I would recommend going and get through the story because the story, just like every Destiny game and every time.
Oh,
Destiny
I think goes, I finished the story.
The story's kind of, you know, it's almost an instant win. Like you spend 2 or 3 days and then it's the weekly cycle and then Forsaken will be two things a week will change.
Oh, yeah. So I think I beat the story, so.
Yeah. In Warmind?
No, in the regular game.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you have two DLCs. The first DLC is where I stopped playing because I played it and I go, wow, this isn't innovative at all. This is sort of just same old, same old. And then when Warmind came out, I downloaded it a week after it launched and I went ahead and I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give this another shot. And turns out they changed enough between the time I stopped playing after the first DLC and when I started playing again after Warmind. I feel like they did what they did in D1 with the Taken King. They figured out that, oh, people actually need this game to be fun. We can't just keep doing what we've been doing.
Right.
And, you know, with Destiny 1, they couldn't just do Halo but with friends.
Right.
That's just not, that doesn't work that way. And I think they knew that starting off. So if they take the worst parts of Destiny, yeah, that'll be a problem. If they take the most recent parts of Destiny and go, this is what makes it quality, it's not that scripted friend experience that they show at all of these E3 things.
They
fake the cute chatter and everything.
Of course.
No, I'm sorry. You're teabagging people. You're doing all this.
It's chaos.
That's
directed.
Not, Exactly. Like, I'm sorry, but that's almost like a Ubisoft type of E3 experience where they just do this cringeworthy thing and they seem to one up themselves every year. Somehow.
I know. Stop doing that. Don't placate us. Like, I would rather that two people come on. Like, I'd rather somebody come on stage and it's like, Bill's going to join me on stage and play this. Bill has not played this before.
Right.
Bill has no idea what he's doing, and I'm going to have to babysit this idiot for like 20 minutes.
The problem
now.
With that, and I think I understand, I understand the months and months spent on the E3 demos because every second up there is money.
Right.
It's so much money. Every square foot of screen, every square foot of demo space, there's just tons of money. And it's more than just money. It's pride, and it's your showmanship. And I think maybe they need to get different people to work
I
on
think
the showmanship.
So. And not to be whatever, it's like if you're going to do like the E3 demo thing, it's like, all right, we recorded us playing the multiplayer part of this when we were developing it.
Right.
And this is, we think it's hilarious, so here we go. And it's literally just like people going...
Like a sizzle reel. I want to see a sizzle reel. I want a sizzle reel of people doing the crazy experiences. And it doesn't have to be perfect. I think
those funny things. I'm like, I think everything's okay. You just get hit by a giant spider. It's like, all right, never mind. And like people getting bleeped out. Like, where the are we?
I want that to be a thing, but I feel like that's something that Valve could do it. I think Blizzard could probably do it, but Blizzard's so in-depth in, like, lore and everything. They're so up their own butts about some things, and they have their own convention. They don't need to do that.
Whenever you show multiplayer on something like that, your tone needs to switch.
Because it's fourth wall breaking for a reason.
Right, and it's the thing. You just need to relax a little bit, understand this is a game, and then just make it, like, not to be whatever. It's kind of like doing a comedy show at that point.
That, okay.
Because it always disintegrates into that.
This has been, for our last little bit on the show, I want to talk about something. I want to talk about something I did in addition to beating Horizon Zero Dawn, and I watched Ready Player One.
Oh, how was that?
You have not seen it?
I've not seen
it.
Okay. I have the book.
I would recommend that everyone watch Ready Player One. It's a Steven Spielberg directed adaptation of the 2011 book Ready Player One. And if you haven't read the book, I would say don't read the book yet.
Okay.
Go watch the movie, because the movie, I haven't read the book in probably, I don't know, 6 years. Mm-hmm. The movie by itself is, I think it's fantastic.
Okay.
It's not the best movie that I've ever seen. It doesn't make me feel things that I've never felt before. It doesn't exercise muscles I didn't know I had.
But it's solid.
It's a solid Steven Spielberg-esque experience. Mm-hmm. It's got hundreds, and I'm impressed. They're not just like tongue-in-cheek, like going, you know, they're not like these detour signs to pop culture reference over here. Mm-hmm. They are the pop culture references. There's Back to the Future, Overwatch. There's Iron Giant. Mm-hmm. There's Halo. And they're not like Mega Bloks versions of Legos. They are the exact representations, and they're faithful. They are a faithful representation. Now, some people are going to say this is a pop culture nostalgia grab type thing. And yeah, a lot of it does
maybe
feel that
way. A little
way.
Bit, but it's almost like a metaphor for the internet itself.
It totally is. It explores.
Because I saw the Spartans when I was the from Halo.
Yeah.
And I was looking and I'm like, those look really spot on.
Yes. I think they are. Tracer's spot on. Every character in the game, everything in there has been, it seemingly, and they do this in the movie, I'm not going to try to spoil anything. Wade Watts plays a gamer, and there's this Easter egg that everyone's trying to find, because if they, and it's in the future, the population's crazy, people live in these stacked places. Anyway, if whoever finds this Easter egg in, it's called the Oasis, it's sort of like this Second Life or this big giant
this
second
is big
world.
Hub world.
Yeah, it's a big hub world. If the creator dies and leaves his stock and his control of the Oasis around, if you find the Easter egg and you unlock it with three keys, you will then be the owner of the Oasis. You'll have like billions of dollars or whatever.
Goodness gracious.
It's just this big giant hunt. And the guy dies, and the owner dies, or the creator dies, and then no one can find the keys. So all of a sudden, Wade and this cast of characters start, you know, finding things and doing this little sleuth work, and then, you know, figuring it out. And it's a really great movie. It does have a lot of nostalgia grabs, but it does this really great thing of, we know that this is not the real world, and we go in and we have these gamer personas now, and TJ Miller's in it, and that's great because he's practically unemployable now until stuff blows over, but he's in it, and he's kind of got that moment where he's like, yeah, you know, this is, I'm talking like it's in the real world. But then you never see him as an actual person. You see him as an in-game character's avatar. Mm-hmm. So he's like this warlock that's made of this big giant walking skull. And it's just mm-hmm. like this really funny thing where he's throwing out all these references to things. And it's like, this is the orb of Amalan. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you have to say an incantation. And then the business guy is like, come on, like, that's not what I pay you for. You know, mm-hmm. how are you doing? He's like, I actually got some neck problems. And so it's like fourth wall breaking, but then it's also in game. And that's how I feel. I don't feel like they do it well. And we're out of time, but I don't feel they do it well. But whenever you have this, like, hey, look, there's a really cool thing. Let's go up there. And then you're like, yeah, I got to take the dog out. Or, you know, whenever you do that as part of this scripted sequence in an E3 demo.
Yeah.
It seems disingenuous.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, you know.
Please stop. Think of the kids.
Yeah, not to be whatever. Film, just, and that's the thing. It's like, maybe you're making it overcomplicated. Film the rodeo.
Right. That's the thing. Like, the game should be enough. I don't need this weird kind of fourth wall breaking, but it's fourth wall breaking, but not really, because you're still in the demo. You're still demonstrating the game.
It's like I'm watching aliens trying to do a Let's Play. And putting on a play for humans.
Yes, that's it. It's like you don't understand that the ironic thing is that what you're doing is what was scripted, and the point of the demo that you're satirizing is you breaking the fourth wall, but you're not, because it's scripted.
And part of me is like, I would do like, what we did was we got four players together, guys who do like playing games together. Yeah. We got them to play our game. And
that's it. And we recorded. There's the beginning of I can't remember what band, but it's the beginning of a song where it's like, what you're about to hear is the amalgamation of, is the highlights from the previous recorded 150 hours.
Just like highlights of stuff like they did. And it's like with the, but I did enjoy, there were some things with Anthem I did see. They just did a new gameplay trailer, had a really interesting boss fight kind of thing with this thing. And it had some exploration and stuff like that. Felt very Destiny-ish.
I want a demo. Give me a playable demo.
Give me a demo.
Give me a 20-minute experience with this game, and try to give me at least 2 to 3 minutes of all of the different types of things
I can do.
I certainly
will be waiting to see. I will not be picking it up the night of.
I want the PlayStation Underground. That's what I want.
I want to see what the reviews are. I'm going to see what the word is.
Yep.
But I'll probably
give it a shot.
If the word is good, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. I'll probably give it a shot, even if, as long as it's not Battlefront 2. So
yeah, just wait a couple of days after it comes out before you do anything.
Wait for that day one patch.
Yeah,
we're out of time. Thanks for hanging out, though. We have a website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that. We have our news, reviews, comments, concerns, and all the crazy things that we talk about are uploaded, and we have caught up. So we're on Google, Google Play, Spotify, all of those places. You can syndicate us. Definitely sign up and subscribe. We're going to leave you with two songs: Chiron Beta Prime by Jonathan Colton and Evolution of Circuitry by the Megas Entertainment System. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you next week, next Wednesday from 9 to 10. Take it easy. Have a good one. This has been the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And you've been hearing it exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
This year has been a little crazy for the Andersons. You may recall...